Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bill O'Brien, following yesterday's practice at training camp, was asked about the performance of Roderick Johnson at left tackle. Finally had a chance to look at the film, and here's what the Texans head coach thought.
He did some good things. You know, he's a strong player. You know, he pass protected well. He was good in the running game. He did. He played pretty good.
He played pretty good. He needs to play well again on Saturday against Dallas, and Bill O'Brien acknowledged that too. It's not just about one performance. He needs to stack up multiple good performances.
The key is, can he do it again? You know what I mean? Like, it's one game, preseason game. It's important for him. But can he do it again? You know, can he do it again against the Cowboys? Detroit was good. Cowboys are good. You know, can he do it again?
I was thinking about this last night, Seth. You know who privately, in my mind, has to be rooting for not only the decision to start Roderick Johnson over Matt Khalil, but also be rooting for Roderick Johnson to continue to show what he's shown so far in training camp? Mike Devlin.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Mike,
for sure.
Devlin needs a success story in the worst way. The offensive line coach for the Texans.
Yeah.
Mike Devlin needs a success story. And I will say this. They picked him up off the scrap heap from Cleveland, a team that was not exactly the team when they got Roderick Johnson. Cleveland was not exactly the team that you were looking to pick up their recyclables at the end of the driveway.
Right.
It's not like you were taking him off of the Cowboys or something like that and one of their offensive linemen. They picked Roderick Johnson up. I can't remember if it was off the street or if they snagged him off of Cleveland's practice squad, but the bottom line was he was no longer wanted by the team that had been the worst team in the league for the last 5 years. And he came in here and he was pretty nondescript last year. I think he might have made it onto the 53 at some point during the season, but they brought him back. I think most people thought he was just going to be a camp body. I didn't even have him making... I've done three predictions now, the 53-man roster for the Texans. The third one dropped today on the Houston Press, houstonpress.com. My second one, I didn't have Roderick Johnson making the 53-man roster. I have this one. He's a lock now to make the 53-man. He might start in week one, and I think Mike Devlin's got to be privately rooting for that right
now.
Yeah,
you actually have to feel like, and I feel way better about Roderick Johnson starting than Matt Khalil. But I think that if you look at Mike Devlin and some of his limitations with what he's worked with over the years, this is what I've said. I've said the same thing about Mike Devlin that I've said about Bill O'Brien. It's frustrating because they have valid excuses. With Bill O'Brien, it was the actual quarterbacks he was working with for a long time. That excuse is no longer. Like, so now he's got to do something with this. I think with Devlin has had legitimate excuses in that the young guys that he had to work with were guys like Xavier Suafilo, who is still in the league but has bounced from New Orleans to the Cowboys. When I've watched him with the Cowboys, I know sometimes people last year were trying to act like he was playing great or something. I didn't see it when I saw him. I think he's just a guy up there. So you can't fault Mike Devlin, perhaps, for Xavier Suafilo. Now, Nick Martin, I guess, would be the one where has Nick Martin really developed into what you wanted out of him. I don't think he has yet, and I still don't quite see why Bill O'Brien speaks so gushingly about Nick Martin. At least part of it last year was that he didn't get a whole lot of help from his guards next to him. So this is the year where, okay, Mike Devlin has this Roderick Johnson who showed up out of nowhere and has definitely improved over the course of one season. Now he's got Max Sharping and he's got Titus Howard, two higher draft picks that he potentially looks like he could be doing some good work with. Is Martinez Rankin a guy that should be doing better?
Third round pick.
Martinez Rankin's a third round pick, and we're talking about him not making the roster this year. Man, getting cut in your second year as a third rounder, that's bad. That's really bad. Like, you got to really disappoint to get cut in the second year.
The graveyard is full of them here in Houston over the last 5 years.
Braxton Miller, by the way, was just released, too.
Tradition like no other.
Braxton Miller was just released.
By the Eagles?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So Braxton Miller, another third rounder who's been a disappointment.
Boy,
so
that was
far.
Exciting when they drafted him that time.
No, remember when he had that end-around touchdown? Where
he did.
He flipped, did a flip into the end zone.
Yeah, yeah. That probably should have told us all we needed to know about Braxton Miller. But back to the offensive line. So you're going through some of the young guys here. Julian Davenport has not really, a fourth rounder out of Bucknell.
Right,
so.
Right. And a definite project, but he hasn't worked out either. So it's hard, and it's hard with, it's kind of like the same with run, with quarterbacks. If a guy doesn't develop here and then he goes on somewhere else and doesn't develop, that doesn't mean that oh, wow, that nothing could be done with that guy. There's almost like a critical moment. Just like with children in their first few years, there's critical things that have to happen in their development. If it doesn't happen, it's never going to happen again. I feel like with offensive linemen and quarterbacks, you have that too. Like with David Carr, something broke in David Carr's first few years here, where maybe if he'd had a chance to sit behind an actually a good quarterback or something for a few years, he might have learned something. And so when he was first thrust out there, it might have been better for him. But I think that the clock in his head and certain things got broken, and he was never going to come back from that.
Rankin is interesting because he was injured last year during training camp. And then when he finally got healthy right before the start of the season, in a perfect world, he probably would have sat there on the bench and watched Julian Davenport and Chantrell Henderson play tackle for this team. In a perfect world, he's probably not playing tackle at all for this team. Week one, Henderson goes down with the ankle injury. Davenport has to flip back over to right tackle, which was bad for Davenport because he had been playing left tackle all training camp. Now, once he went back to left, it's not like it got better for Julian Davenport. But now Martinez Rankin is out there playing left tackle as a rookie with no training camp.
Right, and that's where, again, Mike Devlin gets stuck in that situation where, okay, is he expected to develop a guy that the Texans themselves don't know whether he's a guard or a tackle when they draft him? I've tried to be, and I've refined my opinion on Devlin over the last couple of years. The one thing that I would say has frustrated me, and this is a joint Bill O'Brien, Mike Devlin thing, has been the mental errors. Like, there have been times where simply, I don't care if a guy physically isn't a good player. There have been far too many mental errors by the offensive line where guys just simply gaff. There's guys standing around not blocking people. Like, multiple players at the end of plays standing around not blocking people. That's a Bill O'Brien and Mike Devlin thing together. In terms of the actual talent that they've had to work with, then I can cut him a break there. So if I'll fully and totally give Mike Devlin all the credit in the world if Roderick Johnson ends up being a viable offensive tackle. This is a guy that the Browns let go and did not look this way last year. The kid's made light years, as Bill O'Brien said, he's made light years of progress.
Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. We're talking about the offensive line. Mike Devlin needing a success story on that offensive line. Martinez Rankin is the flip side of that. I think most people were penciling him in like he might be one of the starting guards for this team this year. He's been invisible out of training camp. Bill O'Brien was asked yesterday, is Rankin lagging behind right now?
It's a very competitive position. You know, you got guys like Sunil Kelamete are playing really well. Zach Fulton's playing really well. You know, Mance is out. That gives Rankin a few more snaps, you know. But I think it's, you know, I just think that all of those guys are competing as well as they can.
It is. And it's funny because the O-line, as beleaguered as they've been, they're in the situation now where you don't feel awesome about any of the starters. And yet, at the same time, at the second level, it's extremely competitive.
Yeah.
So it's hard to explain. It's not something that should make you feel good or anything necessarily because you still want to feel good about your starters. But if you do, you look at between Kelamete, Zach Fulton, and Greg Mance, it's going to be hard to earn a spot there. And Nick Martin, obviously, because presumably he's going to start. It's going to be hard to earn a spot on that roster.
Especially with both rookies playing guard right now, too.
And right now, like O'Brien, because he's the master engineer of all this stuff, he's engineered yet another situation where, wow, you know how easy it is to blame all of this on Brian Gain? Like anybody, you can cut a third rounder this year and it's just water off a duck's back with Bill O'Brien because you blame it on Brian Gain. Hell yeah. We had to cut ties with a third rounder from last year, but not my guy.
Yeah.
Not my guy. That's Brian Gain's guy. That's why we got rid of Brian Gain.
I was the one who gave the opinion on Aiken and Reed in the third round last year. Those were my guys.
That's at least partially why I'm...
Not saying he's doing that, but it would be funny if he did.
This isn't productive, but there's part of me that's glad that there's no GM and that Bill O'Brien's a GM because, like, that's the end of the excuses.
Yes, 100%.
You know? That's the end of, okay, well, this is Rick Smith's fault or this is Brian Gain's fault. Like, from this point forward, it's all on Bill O'Brien, including if they hire a GM. Like, no, I'm not. If they hire Nick Caserio, he's not a GM. He's a director of pro personnel. Bill O'Brien, henceforth, is as long as Bill O'Brien is in Houston, he's the general manager. And, yep, like, any and all personnel decisions will be completely his, and he'll have to own them, good or bad. So, and I'll gladly give him credit for the good ones, but there's nobody else to blame for any of the bad ones.
What do we have to grade so far for Bill O'Brien, I guess? Just cutting Deontay Foreman and trading for Duke Johnson?
Duke Johnson. And so he overpaid for Duke Johnson, but I'm okay with that for now. The Jadeveon Clowney will be the big one.
Okay, well, but all the Clowney stuff is now is smoke that may be poisoning the relationship between Clowney and the team.
Right.
Which probably is not a good thing, I guess, if Clowney comes back. But
it would all depend on, this would be the question. The Texans look like they're aggressively marketing Jadeveon Clowney. Based on reports, it looks like that's what's happening. If that's the case and that does end up affecting how Clowney actually performs or whether he comes back at all, like maybe Clowney, it doesn't make financial sense, but maybe Clowney gets it into his head that this is a grudge match now and just like to punish the Texans, sits out for 8 games and thinks like, okay, I'm going to sit out 8 games, but I'll come back and I'll play 8 games and I'll be healthy. And then I'll force the Texans' hand on either trading me this next year.
Ooh.
Maybe like, and again, it doesn't. Never make the mistake of assuming that people always make sound, rational financial decisions.
That's true.
It's amazing that we'll sit here. I spent $4 for a coffee this morning, but then I'm going to turn around and act like, oh, yeah, everybody always makes financial decisions that are smart.
That was a
like,
bad decision for you?
It's a bad financial decision. It's like, you know, realistically, I've got free coffee here at the office.
It is true. It's free. That's better than $4. Yeah.
So like, don't ever make that mistake that, oh, Clowney won't hold out because it doesn't make financial sense. If Clowney gets PO'd enough based on them trying to trade him away, then I could see it happening. So is that, you blame that on Bill O'Brien? Like, they did not handle this with a deft touch.
Yes, I would blame that on Bill O'Brien.
So we'll see. Like we've pointed out, right now, Seth Payne is freaking out a lot about stuff that Bill O'Brien just hasn't even done yet. Like,
person yourself?
Yeah, I did. In a negative way. Oh, okay. I'm not doing like Ricky Henderson. Like, yeah, Ricky Henderson really ran it out the first on that play.
Seth is having a good day on the radio today.
Radio, don't test Ricky Henderson.
So what was Seth Payne saying again about Bill O'Brien?
Seth Payne was saying that he's freaking out a lot about stuff that hasn't actually had a chance to happen.
Okay.
So, like, I'm freaking out about what he's done with Jadeveon Clowney, where we haven't seen exactly what's going to happen with Jadeveon Clowney. If Jadeveon Clowney gets traded to the Washington Redskins and Trent Williams comes here, then I'm going to feel a lot different about Bill O'Brien. Then if all of a sudden if I wake up tomorrow morning and I find out that Jadeveon Clowney has been traded like for a 2021 sixth rounder, that might be the end of my radio career, because that'll be all I talk about for 4 straight hours every day for like three months. And like, nobody will listen anymore.
You'll start a separate podcast just about the Clowney trade. You have the Deceptively Fast podcast and then the Clowney trade podcast.
They're going to come in. Our boss, Armin, will call him into the office and be like, Seth, that's it. You got to stop talking about the Clowney for a 2021 seventh rounder trade. You got to stop talking about this every single segment. I'm like, that's it. I'm walking. I'm out. I'm done. And I'm going to go home and I'll go to another street corner in Pearland. And I'll just start doing it on a street corner. Not even a podcast.
Just wear like one of those sandwich boards.
Yep. I'll YouTube it. That'll be my sole source of income. I'll start doing it. I'll maybe like get just like what's his name's ex-wife, Bagwell's ex-wife. I'll get tattoos on my bosom to make money.
Of Clowney?
Yeah.
Like a big Clowney tattoo on your bosom.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.